back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday night. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And this is kind of the epicenter of the entire woke movement. You know, they say Minnesota has the most Fortune 500 companies per capita than any other metropolitan area in the country, which is an important signal. You know, it's not by accident that Minnesota has voted blue 13 consecutive presidential elections. It'll be 14 in 2028. Now, every once in a while, you get a rhino like Tim Pawlenty, who, you know, real soft around the edges, another cardigan-wearing Finocchio. He says the MAGA base is a problem. I can't even win an endorsement or a primary in my own party anymore. That's why I'm not running for United States Senator or Governor, because I can't even win a primary. The MAGA base is too strong. You're right, Tim. We're too strong now. Sorry, buddy. You're a thing of the past. And it just strikes me as odd that for some reason nobody's really made the connection that the same neoconservative wing of the Republican Party that has always challenged President Trump and the MAGA agenda or the America First agenda have always had a similar position on Israel. All of them. Up until recently, I think it was Bill Kristol who recently endorsed Bill Kristol, neoconservative Jewish thought leader, or let's say Jewish neoconservative thought leader, endorsed Mamdani for New York City mayor. Now, what would a neoconservative Jewish commentator be doing endorsing a communist Muslim for New York City mayor? That strike people as odd. It doesn't. It's not that odd. If you know the history that his father, Irving Kristol, was probably the foremost conservative thought leader in his era, in his time. Irving Kristol was probably one of the most influential conservatives, intellectually in the entire country. But he was a Trotskyite. I don't have to go into it. If you watch Alex Jones, you know the history. You know the history of the Trotskyite communists being, the early inception of the neoconservative wing of the Republican Party. So it makes sense that every time the nation is in its darkest hour, the Dick Cheneys of the world side with the communists. It makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense why the Mitt Romneys of the world side with the communists when this nation's in its darkest hour. We're getting hip to the game. That's why they're so afraid. That's why they're paying all these influencers. That's why they have to go to the evangelical Protestant community and beg that they prop up this fantastical foreign policy. I mean, this, again, and this is the last thing I'll say about it, and we're going to move on to some other things because I want to talk about some other things this evening. The last thing I'll say about it is, you know, this evangelical sort of Protestant Zionism, you just can't push us around. You can't make us believe that, you know, this entire discussion about our Christian faith isn't deeply political, because it is. It is deeply political. You can't in one sense say the political isn't important because Christ died for our sins, so it doesn't matter what I do, and then say, but you better vote to support Israel. You better send your sons and daughters and your money to the political state of Israel. You got to pick a lane, you Christian Zionists. Either the political is important or it isn't. One or the other. I'm Royce White. We're going to be back on the other side of a brief break here. You got me for the next hour. InfoWars Sunday night, the Alex Jones Show. I'm glad to be with you. We're not leaving any stone unturned tonight. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a moment.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life-changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formulas. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Welcome back. InfoWars, the Alex Jones Show, Sunday night. I'm your host, Royce White. You got me for the next hour here. I hope I didn't offend anybody. We threw down in the first hour. I hope I didn't offend you. If I did, I'm not going to apologize. I'm sorry. If you want a politician that apologizes, you know, you got to go find somebody else. I can't be that guy for you. I can tell you like it is. I can do that. I can tell you exactly what I think, and for the most part, to the best of my ability and knowledge, I can tell you like it is, but I cannot apologize for you. Sorry, you're going to be offended. You're going to be offended. There's no easy way to say a lot of these things. There are no easy answers. The easy answers are behind us now. The easy questions and the easy answers are behind us now. There's no easy way to say a lot of this stuff. That's why people think, oh, well, you got to try not to offend people. That's code word for saying you got to try not to really get anything done. You got to try not to change anything. Change things, some people are going to be offended. They're going to be uncomfortable. You know, people are deeply, deeply uncomfortable with change. We talk about improvement and development and progress. These are buzzwords for utopian fantasies. People don't really want progress. It's like I say about sports. I was just telling a dear, dear friend of mine the other day. People say they want to be good in sports. They say they want to be good until they figure out how much work they have to do. Everybody wants to hit the game-winning shot. Everybody wants to make the spectacular home run play. Everybody wants to have that glorious moment. Nobody wants to put the work in. And that's how we talk about, progress and improvement and peace and all these kind of esoteric, abstract buzzwords. It's all utopian fantasy. Let's get down to brass tack. What's really going on? What's going on is people are willing to trade their freedom for convenience. And it's an indictment of the American people. It really is. Vox populi, vox dei. You get the government you deserve, and by God, you will. People are deeply, deeply uncomfortable with change. They got a lot of opinions. A lot of opinions. We have an entire opinion society. Everybody's got an opinion. They used to say, a-holes and elbows, everybody's got an opinion. And some people's opinions are better than others. Some people's opinions are absolutely stupid. But ultimately, we've created an opinion society. Everybody's the star in their own movie. Everybody's the blockbuster actor in their Hollywood motion picture. Your movie's a C movie at best. Probably not even that. Your movie probably wouldn't even be the highlight at a regional film festival. Let's be honest. My movie's a C movie. But I don't think I'm the star of my own movie. Now I have a podcast. I have a radio show. I get to come on InfoWars and talk to you all in the audience. So, ipso facto, I kind of, get a key role in this whole deal. But I approach it like I'm not that important. I don't want to force myself on people. I'm not calling everybody up saying, hey, I got to come on your show. That's why you don't see me that much, unless you watch the podcast. But in what I do, in the way that I think, in the formulation of my ideas, I'm meticulous about it. And I spend a lot of time in private, away from the limelight, refining the things that I think so that the things that I say can be more honest. Is that all of us? Is that our culture? That's not our culture right now. Our culture right now is to consume more content quicker and formulate opinions faster so we can try and one-up somebody and own somebody in some comment section. It's like, you really thought that comment was significant. Yeah, it wasn't that significant. What about the political action in your community? What about the school boards that we left to the Satanists? What about the mayor's races, or even more importantly, these judge seats? Ooh, wow. There's one neglectful shame of the conservative movement. It's these local judgeships that we've just let, you know, just kind of just fall to the wayside for the Democrat liberal order, right? And we think there's not going to be a constitutional crisis. We think we're going to debate the left. You know, so this intellectual highbrow debate, we're gonna own them with logic. Let's stop debating the left. If you say a man is a woman, there's no reason to have a debate with you. I mean, just in principle, if you really believe that a man's breast milk, a transgender woman's breast milk, is just as good as natural breast milk, as reported by the BBC in the last couple of weeks, if you really believe that, do I really need to have a debate with you? No. No. You live in non-reality. Just like the tranny that grabbed Ben Shapiro on television. I'm not going to sit here and have a debate with a grown man who's 6'5" and an Adam's apple and a purple blouse with a pair of balls. I'm not debating you. You don't live in you're living in non-reality. And I'm not judging either. I mean, I am judging, but I'm not judging. You're an American citizen. Hey, if you want to dress up as Miss Doubtfire on the weekends, you're an American citizen. I have the right to laugh, and I have the right to say I think you look ridiculous. And I have the right to teach my children that you look ridiculous. And I have the right to teach my children that it's probably a gateway to a very dark way of living spiritually. I have that right too. But if you want to, fine. And if you just so happen to have enough of your sanity left that you still believe in citizenship and having rights, God bless you. On the rest of your journey, I wish you well. That's between you and God. But if you believe in American citizenship, on that basis, we can be allies for sure. For sure. So we don't need to debate. The right is where we're having a debate, and we're having a necessary debate, because everything left of the center right is a part of the problem, all the way over to the AOCs. And I don't like what's going on with Marjorie Taylor Greene. I don't think for one second that the president should shun Marjorie Taylor Greene like that. It not good. Not good at all. But I also saw Marjorie go on CNN and apologize for being involved in toxic politics. Excuse me, Marjorie, you know I love you and support you. We were both there the day Steve Bannon went to federal prison, and that says something. It says something that you were there. It says something that Eric Prince was there. It says something that Bernie Kerik were there and all the other people from the War Room Posse, the real War Room Posse that showed up for Steve the day he went to Danbury. So you know I love you, but there ain't no apologizing, MTG. Sorry. Take it from your brother here. Ain't no apologies, all right? You don't have to apologize for being a part of toxic politics. The politics are toxic. You got to be a little toxic in order to even talk about this stuff, especially with the lunatic left. You have to be. And then you got to fight the right who want us to be Israel first. Don't apologize. And I say this to President Trump. We support you. I mean, if you're willing to go through this, then we're willing to walk through it with you. But got to get our ducks in a row here. This is getting a little outrageous. And I'm just going to say it, you know, and again, all you have to understand, and I hope that this is received well, because I know there's a huge referendum on President Trump now. There ain't no quitting the team in the middle of the game. Like, if you get up, if you're in a basketball game and you get up and you take your jersey off, you can't come back to the team. You just, you know, you're cooked. You're done. Can't come back to the game. You lose your credibility because you don't understand the sacred honor of what it means to be in a gunfight. And there are a lot of people with political opinions that I know don't really understand what it is to be in a firefight, to be in a gunfight. Sorry, you just show you don't really get it. Is President Trump perfect? Absolutely not. Again, no man is. Does he have huge flaws? Do I significantly disagree on this Israel issue? Absolutely. But never forget, there is a big difference between him and Kamala Harris. A big difference. And it ain't the amount of money that AIPAC donated to their campaigns. I'll tell you that. One person believes in non-reality. One person is caught up in the web of powers that be. We don't know what it's like to be in that position. Honestly, we've let our government get so out of control in the deep state and the administrative state and the security state and the shadow government around the world. We've let these forces get so out of control. Our citizenship has become so bastardized. We have no clue what President Trump is really facing. Let's just be honest about it. I mean, Alex is about as close as you can get to piecing that whole thing together with the information that he has. But none of us, especially us lay folks here out in the audience that have opinions, none of us know what President Trump is really up against. We don't know. Let's just be clear. We don't know. And it's an indictment of us that we let the NSA unconstitutionally surveil us because we were so afraid of the Muslims. Oh, the Muslims are coming. You're an American citizen. You got the Second Amendment. Go buy yourself a shotgun and get you some ammo. You don't have to fear Muslims. You don't have to fear anybody but God. That is what our founding fathers gave us as citizens, and that's what makes this country and our people unique. We have the institutional, we have the fundamental governmental framework, constitutional rights, citizenship to walk through the world without fear. That's what our founding fathers gave us. You don't have to be afraid of Muslims. You have to be afraid of, like your founding father said, if you're willing to trade your freedom for security, then you will have neither. And more importantly, you deserve neither. I love our founding fathers. They were no punks. They just talked like real hitters. If you'll trade your freedom for security, we don't have to talk about whether you'll have either. It's a given that you won't have either because you're too stupid to realize the importance of both. But the more important thing is you don't deserve it. Even though we've created a constitutional framework of ideas that say citizenship is your birthright and freedom is your birthright, inalienable rights granted to you by a creator. Even though that's the foundation of our citizenship, you can forfeit that birthright by being a coward. That's Americanism. You can forfeit your inheritance by being a coward, by hunting that convenience too much. It's got to be more convenient. Hey, just let the Five Eyes surveil everybody from being, and then I'll have security. Then maybe I don't have to go on down to the gun store and take a little class so I can conceal and carry if those are the laws in my state and learn how to actually shoot a weapon and think about the security plan for my home and put up a couple cameras, a couple Ring cameras in case an unruly intruder gets the idea to break in the middle of the night. I don't have to do any of that if I'll just let the NSA surveil me. Well, you give up. When you give up that much freedom at the scale we have, you kind of put any politician in a position where they got a double deal. I'm just telling you for real. And honestly, for me, running for United States, you know that I wouldn't sell it. There's not a single ounce of sellout in me. And that's why it's going to be very difficult for me to get into one of the most captured bodies in the history of human civilization. I mean, our United States Senate right now is captured in a way that only rivaled by the Roman Senate at the fall of the Roman Empire. I mean, there ain't 10 reliable America First votes in the entire 100-person United States Senate. You know it. I know it. They know it. If you ask them, they'll tell you. They won't even hide it. They know. It's a running joke that to run for United States Senate, you have to have already sold out to a major lobby that could probably front you the $10 to $20 million you need to be competitive. That right there is obscene. But we've allowed that. How do we overcome that? We overcome that by the populace, the people, Vox Populi, Vox Dei, us, the American people, we the people. We overcome that by sorting out these fundamental issues, sorting out the issues, having a message, having a philosophy, a real philosophy that helped President Trump be victorious in 2024 and can carry us through 2026 and can carry us into 2028. And we're going to be calling out some fakes. There are going to be some people who want to run for president in 2028 when the MAGA movement says, uh-uh, sorry, nope, not buying it. It's going to happen. Or it isn't. We're either going to go get involved in the process for 2026 and make sure that the House and the Senate stay with the only reasonably logical political party in this country, or we're not. Or we could quit. You know, quitting's always an option. See, but I don't think everybody's as gangster as they say. That's just my read of things. Because if you were, the country probably wouldn't be in the shape that it's in. So it's kind of, you know, the cart of the horse, chicken or the egg. If you were really that gangster, if you were really about that 1776 life, if you were really about that post-apocalyptic, fall of a government, kind of a rogue sort of every man for himself framework, you know, lifestyle, if you were really about that, I don't think this country would look like it does today. So the vast majority of you aren't really gangster like that. I think you better get involved in the process. We could come up with 1,000 excuses why we aren't involved in the process. We could do that until the day is long. Whether it's AIPAC involvement, whether it's, you know, us giving our country to Muslims or whatever the case may be, big corporations, hell, we enough blame to go around there for sure. Women, we could blame women, you know, and don't get me wrong, I think the feminist movement has broken the back of this country. Really, if you want to get all the way down to the bottom of the deal, the Jewish lobby don't have anything on what the feminist movement has done to this country. That is the proverbial battle that we have to face since time immemorial, since the Garden of Eden, right? When I hear, you know, women saying that men are useless, that they would happily live in a country with all women. When I hear young women saying that they would happily live in a country with all women and you know, serious. And then they ask the men say, what are you talking about? What, dude? Of course I wouldn't want to live in a country where there were no women. What do you mean? You ask the women, and they say, we would gladly live in a country that only has women. I mean, that's the beating heart of the issue, and we kind of don't want to go there because our romantic pursuits and passions supersede our philosophical beliefs. Our philosophical beliefs about citizenship and country and God, even in some respects. So, I mean, that's an age-old battle, and we'll be fighting that until the end of time. My point is, we could come up with any reason we want to not be involved in the process. But understand, every absence, every void is a vacuum. Every void, every absence is a vacuum. And where we resign, our enemies will fill that void. And I'm seeing more and more InfoWars audience types that are coming into the process. I'm, you know, pulling me to the side saying, I'm watching InfoWars. I saw you on hosting Alex Jones the other night. I saw you hosting Alex Jones a while back. So I know you're coming into the process, but understand that's the most important thing. The people who win are the people who show up. The people who, to the victor go the spoils. The people who write the history are the victors. Whether or not you are seen as a traitor and are charged with treason and carried off to the gulags is a matter of who wins and who loses. Number one issue, election integrity. Number one issue, election integrity. Dear Mr. President, one of your most loyal supporters, against all the scrutiny, coon, Uncle Tom, black Nazi, whatever, doesn't bother me at all. Dear Mr. President, we have to make sure these elections are going to be secure. We have to. And we need to hear it. I want to know, what is the plan for these elections? And all of you have to show up. Show up to your local BPOU. Show up to your local Republican. But don't say, oh, well, the Republican Party's cooked. First it was the Republican Party's cooked. Now it's MAGA's cooked. It's like, all right, okay, go sit in your house and wait for the communists to come round you up. Because don't think your IP history is going in the digital trash bin because you wash your hands with the MAGA movement. Oh, no, you're still on a list. Don't be fooling yourself. You're on a list. And I'm talking to Nick. Nick, you're saying a lot of honest things, and you and I both know that, but don't be fooling yourself. And I know he's not fooled, but the people who follow it, don't be fooling yourself. Whether or not you participate will not change if they come and round you up if we don't win. Do not make the mistake of thinking you will be exempt because you washed your hands of the MAGA movement. And I'm an America firster. This hat says make Minnesota great again. We do have to unify. But under the right principles. I love that Matt Walsh just called it like it was. He says, look, I'm not against Israel, but we can't even have a conversation. Charlie Kirk, now we're going to play tug of war with Charlie Kirk. Rest in peace. Charlie Kirk's text messages that were leaked were clear. That the Jewish donors, were trying to bully him. They were trying to tell him what he can and can't do, and they threatened to pull their money and their support if he wouldn't toe the line 100%. They didn't ask for 90%. They didn't ask for 80% because he was already at 80 or 90%. They asked for 100%. You can't platform Tucker. Anybody who even says the word platform, you're out. It sounds too lefty to me. We can't platform him. He's dangerous. And there are a lot of homosexuals in the conservative movement. And I don't mean that like in a sexual way. I mean that in a South Park gay kind of way. There are a lot of like effeminate Finocchios. Like I said, I'm seeing them pop up. They're on Fox News. They're becoming prominent content creators. And they're real. And it's like, I'm not following them. It's even like Scott Pressler. And I respect what Scott Pressler's doing. We got to get right, though. Are we voting same-day paper ballots, or are we chasing the ballot, banking the vote? What are we doing? But even the fact that our leading, ballot guy is a open homosexual, it's like, how am I supposed to reconcile that? Christian Zionists? Oh, I'm going too far tonight. I'm sorry. Whoa, we can't go there. All right. I get it. You're watching Royce White. It is what it is. I tell it like it is. I got a lot of questions. We're going to ask the last few questions that I have on the other side of the break. Again, Royce White, InfoWars, The Alex Jones Show, Sunday night. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats and the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app. And tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Barring a miracle in the courts, InfoWars should be shut down somewhere close to January 1st. But that's just a website. It's just these studios. The InfoWar belongs to the people of America and the world. The population doing their own research, getting involved with the community, and studying what the globalists are doing, exposing them and resisting them. And we've come from basically 1% of the population knowing what was happening 31 years ago when I got involved in the fight, to close to half of the people, not just in America, but around the world, being incredibly awake and engaged and informed. And so that's so exciting. And we have fought so hard together, that's why we've been targeted, because the globalists want to take us off the air so that we can't continue to tell the truth. But this operation is just one manifestation of the InfoWars. So I want to thank all of you over the decades. InfoWars has been around 28 years for not just supporting the InfoWar, but being the InfoWar. Now, that said, the legendary shopping cart, InfoWarsStore.com, with all the great products that kept us on the air through all those fights, it's still up and operating. Everything is still being shipped out. Within a day or two, your order's coming in. And two of our fan favorites are available for the last time at InfoWarsStore.com. These just came in, brand new, fresh, Ultimate Fish Oil, the three certified best types of fish oil that do such incredible things for your body. Last up to 18 to 24 months, so you can also save it if you need to. And again, it is documented to be so good for your mind, your cardiovascular system, your immune system, and so much more. Fish oil, period, is great. Ours is the highest grade because it's been cold pressed, meaning it wasn't heated up or boiled. It wasn't homogenized. So you get the full effect. That is back in stock for a limited time for 40% off at InfoWarsStore.com. And Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula. It's been out now for 8 years. Hard to believe that. When we first did this with a top manufacturer, no one else had ever done it. We went to them. We said, what's the strongest turmeric concentrate on the market? And they said about 75%. And we put it out. That's what we'd gone to them. We said, well, how high can you go? They said 95% curcuminoid. That's what is the thing that does the great effects of anti-inflammatory, overall health, immune system, you name it, in turmeric. And they explained, listen, you don't need to go that high. Just raw turmeric capsules are 4%, and people get amazing, amazing responses from it. 75 is just over the top. I said, no, go 95%. Now the industry all over the place has gone to 95% curcuminoid. So we are continuing to trailblaze and be leaders in this. So it is your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site and the legendary fight. Thank you so much for your support. Now stock up while you can on Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil.
There are many whites who act friendly toward Negroes. A fox acts friendly toward the lamb. Mm-hmm. And usually the fox is the one who ends up with the lamb chop on his plate. Mm-hmm. The wolf doesn't act friendly, and therefore the wolf has more difficulty in getting the lamb chop in his plate.
I'd like to point out, though, that...
I say that because it is usually the... If you study the structure of the Negro community, mm-hmm. economically, politically, civically, psychologically, and otherwise, it's controlled by the white liberal, mm-hmm. who usually poses as the friend of the Negro, who actually differs from the white conservative in the same way that the fox differs from the wolf. Their appetite is the same. Mm-hmm. Their motives are the same. It's only their mannerisms and methods that differ.
Mm-hmm. I would agree that no doubt there have been a large number of whites who have posed as liberals and as friends of the Negro and who have time and again betrayed the Negro. On the other hand, I think one could point to a large number of whites who have struggled for civil rights, equality, and have got little or nothing out of it, other than quite a few bruises.
Give me an example.
Well, the large number of white students who have gone into the South, for example, working for SNCC and other organizations.
Not working for SNCC or other organizations, but working for the white political machines who benefit by the voting efforts of Negroes.
Okay, I'll be more specific. I would cite Herbert Hill, for example, as a kind of person who has championed Negro job rights, for example, in New York City and elsewhere. He has fought the political machine.
First time I met Herbert Hill personally was when they were picketing to stop the working on the Harlem Hospital in Harlem. Negroes for 10 years had to fight the city to get an annex built on the Harlem Hospital. Because in Harlem, we need a hospital more so than anything else. Our people are sick. Plus, we do a lot of cutting and shooting of each other, though we profess to be nonviolent. And Herbert Hill brought his forces out and stopped the working on that site. This is the first time I ever saw him. Then, when work was brought to a halt on a hospital in Harlem, the same Negroes tried to stop the work at the Downstate Medical Center in Brooklyn, which is predominantly white. They were out there for 3 months during the summer, couldn't stop anything. And I never saw Herbert Hill out there one time. Now, whenever it takes a stoppage of something that's going to affect the white man, you find the white liberal absent. But when it involves something that primarily will affect the best interests of black people and black people only, then that white liberal is present. Herbert Hill is the labor secretary for the NAACP. Mm-hmm. And if he was interested in black people, he would prepare a black man with the type of knowledge and understanding of the labor troubles involving black people that would enable a black man to sit in the same position as secretary of labor or labor secretary in the NAACP. I'm suspicious of whites who join Negroes and always have to be in the lead, who always have to be the head, who always have to be at the top in Negro organizations. Those whites who really have the interest of blacks at heart, let them give some advice to some Negroes and stand on the sideline. But don't join
Welcome
the organization
back.
And then get at the head of it and pose as a friend of Negroes.
The great Malcolm X. Welcome back to the Alex Jones Show here on Sunday night. I'm your host, Royce White, here in the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. And we got good old Malcolm X clip there, giving some fresh truth bombs on the relationship between the white liberal and the black community. I said earlier, you know, and Malcolm X was considered a radical, and sure, he was Muslim, and even more noteworthy, he seemed to have an affection for the communist perspective of things. And people got to understand the way that the world changes. The early black civil rights leaders opted for the communist ideology because to them, capitalism was the root of all evil. So the natural choice was, what's the opposing ideology? And you look, even today, you would ask a Malcolm X and say, if you saw the trajectory of the communist movement and how, despite their having transgender jihadists now, which wasn't on my 2025 bingo card, but, you know, it's a reality today. But, you know, Malcolm X, very conservative, obviously had a deep religious faith and practice. And he'd be very hard pressed to convince me that a Malcolm X would have ever agreed with a transgender woman breastfeeding a child as if it were regular breast milk. You just have a tough time getting me to believe that Malcolm X would stand with these people today. Malcolm X would probably have completely defected from the pro-black civil rights movement if he could see where the LGBTQ has taken it today. And the LGBTQ does have it. But again, you know, like I said earlier, black people aren't just voting Democrat because they're stupid. They're not just voting Democrat because they believe the propaganda. Black people are voting Democrat because they're picking a winner. And we have an intuition about who will win and who will lose in all of these political fights. The human being, despite their overall intelligence or their their lack thereof education or whatever the case may be, people have a sort of spiritual intuition, you know, a survival intuition about who has the power. The Democrats and liberals' number one lie is that they frame their political movement as though they're fighting the power. They're not fighting the power. They have the power. The Democrat liberal order has run the world for the last 60 years. They have the power. And at the beating heart of that power is the nation of Israel. Our foreign policy. We don't have our own foreign policy. We don't have an authentic foreign policy. Our entire foreign policy is Great Britain's foreign policy. We're in a war with Russia. The great game is Great Britain's foreign policy. We're in a war with China's revenge for the opium wars. That's why they're sending us fentanyl. Revenge for the opium wars. Great Britain's foreign policy. And then there in Israel, that's all Great Britain's foreign policy. It's time for America to become America. For the first time since the American Revolutionary War. We are in a second revolutionary war. Hopefully this one doesn't have to be kinetic. Hopefully this one can be political and ideological, spiritual in nature. Hopefully it doesn't have to be kinetic. But we are in a second revolutionary war in this country as citizens. We have to understand what Americanism even is, really. We have to decide that. That's the change, the turmoil that the America First and MAGA movement are going through. We're having a conversation, a necessary conversation about what this country really is. Is this country a set of load-bearing walls and interlocutor security agreements around the world? Is that what America is supposed to be? Or is America the land of the free and the home of the brave? A nation of shopkeepers, independent business owners and agrarian farmers, rugged individualists, men who carry everything they need on their belt. Is that what America is? Or is America this sort of cosmopolitan, highbrow, intellectual, credentialized, scientific, managerial class of global elites? We get to decide. But it's going to be decided by your participation. Give me the first 100 names in the phone book. I'm of that thinking. Give me the first 100 names in the phone book before the first 100 PhDs from the Ivy League. And that includes you too, JD, Vance, stood in the breach, stood by President Trump. Got to respect that. Got to appreciate that. Changed his tune on President Trump. A lot of us have. So did Tulsi. So did RFK Jr. A lot of us have changed our opinions over the years. The more we are, in lockstep with our former selves, the less we have grown, unless you were spot on in the beginning, like Alex. You know, Alex can actually say, hey, I've been saying the same thing for 20 years, which is most likely why they go after him the way they do. Because not only is he right, he's been right for a long time. But a lot of us have changed, and that's okay. Change is inevitable. The question is, which direction are we moving toward? Which direction are we moving in? And I don't trust these Ivy League guys. Sorry. They were enculturated in a framework of politics and geopolitics and foreign policy that is repugnant to the America First and MAGA movement. And I'm not talking about JD, because I think the things that JD has said on our foreign policy is in an alignment with much of the MAGA and America First movement, even Israel. I think JD's on the record saying, hey, you know, we have a relationship with Israel, but American citizens are going to come first. But you all as citizens have to hold them to that, and we have to hold the president to that. And again, ask yourself this question. In fairness to President Trump, and the whole Epstein thing is a blunder. It's a huge blunder. It's going to continue to be a blunder. Who knows what's going on there? There's so much espionage and deep state muck in this Epstein deal, I can't even make heads or tails of it. How do I know? How does the average American citizen know who's sitting at home, whether the emails are real, whether they were cooked, whether they were with the pictures, the AI? I'm looking at videos. You almost got to go to the comments and see if other people think it's AI because the stuff looks so real. It's hard to know what's real and what's not. And that's also an indictment of us. We let our society get to a place where it's hard to know what's real and what's fake. I understand. But in fairness to President Trump, again, like I said earlier, in fairness to the president, do you think that President Trump would have been able to win in 2024 if he didn't have the support of some in the Jewish lobby? I mean, this is a, now we can talk about ideology. We can talk about, the purity of the politics, if you want, and I'm all for that. And we can have one set of conclusions when we talk about the ideological and the purity of the politics, and we can have another set of conclusions when we talk about the strategic. That's kind of how the art of war in Western society and all of society undermines our claims about moral and ethical integrity, right? Because in a sense, you have to deceive your enemies, at least in modern warfare especially. You have to deceive your enemies in order to have a chance at victory. So in that deception, you're kind of giving way to the sins of dishonesty, right? But we kind of measure for that and go, well, when we get to war, certain rules are off. Okay, well, we're in a war now. We are in a war right now. Make no mistake about it. It's another issue I have with this Christian community. Oh, Royce, don't use profanity. You guys have a blind loyalty to any veteran who steps up to run for office, wears a suit with a silk tie and a stocking, and puts an American flag on his lapel and doesn't use four-letter words, and you'll support him. Even though you know when he was protecting this country there in that sand desert that those guys were using profanity every single day in the blaze of bullets in battle. But we say, oh, well, they were at war. So we make an exception for their profanity. We're at war here right now. In fact, the reason they have to go fight a war over there is because we're not willing to fight the war we should be fighting right here. That's, you know, another entirely different conversation. Point is, we have to ask ourselves, do we think President Trump could win? All the people who are saying, hey, he's become the establishment. He's become the machine. He's become the system. Do we think that President Trump could have had success in 2024 if he hadn't played the game a little bit? Or a lot of bit? Do we really think he could have won? The answer is no. So the question becomes then, was it important for him to win in 2024? Fundamentally. And that goes back to this, you know, this bigger question is like when we're having this argument between America First and MAGA and what the movement is going to be. Fundamentally, we have to ask ourselves, do we want to have a country or not? And is the process, is the pathway to us having the country we want to have, walk along a road where we have a country while we get there? Because we could just blow the whole thing up. I mean, that's possible. Again, I don't think a lot of you are as ready for that scenario as you claim. Certainly the left isn't, but I don't know if the right is either. You know, there are a lot of highbrow country club, let's call them, suburban sort of yuppie Christians as well. I don't know if you're as ready for the 1776 revolution as you claim on social media. Actually, I know you're not, because I could tell by, let me just, without being insulting, I don't want to insult people, but let's just be real. I can tell by your physique that you ain't ready for no war. I can tell by the way you're built, you're not ready for a war. You're not ready to survive out there in the wild. You're not ready for the Hunger Games. I can tell by the way you're built. I'm a mixed martial artist. I can tell by the way a lot of you are built. I can tell by the way a lot of you breathe that you ain't ready for a war. Come on now, let's be real. So we want to have a country while we're on the road to fixing the country. So if that's the case, there are things that President Trump is going to have to do that won't make any sense to us whatsoever. Just like there have been things that many leaders have had to do throughout the course of history that won't make any sense to us whatsoever in retrospect, things that only they knew they had to do because they were in that position. Now, does that grant does that mean that you shouldn't question it? No, I'm not saying that at all. You should question it, and you should question it with the utmost intensity. Question President Trump, please. You have to. It's your duty. It's your sacred honor as an American citizen to question the things that he's doing. The question I'm asking you is, are you going to quit because you don't like your answers or because you don't get one? Quitting's not an option. In our nation's darkest hour, if you're an American citizen, quitting isn't an option. Questioning is a duty. Quitting isn't an option. So we're going to figure this out. Now, what do we have to really figure out? At the bottom of this thing, you know, hemispheric defense, hemispheric geopolitical strategy is the only thing that makes sense. We got to understand the Chinese have already won. They're out manufacturing us 50-1 on essential military products. If we keep going the way we're going, our Navy is going to look like, a fly on an elephant's ass compared to the Chinese. They've already won. Go back to Mackinder's land theory. He who controls Eastern Europe controls the heartland. He who controls the heartland controls the Afro-Eurasian world island. With the advancement of modern warfare, the person who's going to win and dominate the natural resources are going to be the people who can walk to the things they need. The CCP can walk to the things that it needs. And we have to pull back from this global dollar empire, where we're the reserve currency and our greatest export is our dollar. And we print money, we borrow money to keep our lights on and pay the bills or pay to go to wars that we end up not winning. We're just getting bled dry by the Chinese. That's what's happening. We're just getting bled dry by the CCP. Let's just talk about what it really is. There is a new multipolar world. It already exists. Your politicians are sold out to the Chinese in so many ways. Right now, we're in a multipolar war. We are on a crash course with the CCP. The question is how this whole war is going to go down. Now, the CCP are smart because they have a much older civilization than ours. And they do. And we're talking about America. I don't want to count the entire Westphalian nation state history. We're not taking the West all the way back to the Roman Empire. Even if we did, the Chinese still have an older civilization than we do. So they think in much longer terms than we do. And I know people have already, this is why the intellectual elites, the Kissingers and everybody else from the, you know, the school of David Frum and whatnot, they say, oh, it was the inexorable rise of China. The second law of thermonuclear dynamics is the inexorable rise of China. Hence the managed decline of the West. They believed in that. They believed in the managed decline of the West. They managed the decline of the West. You're living in the managed decline of the West. In fact, you could argue that some of these outrageous psyops that have been run on us have been to expedite the decline of the West. So, you know, you're living in it. Yeah, we're going to take our country back. The question is, what do we actually do? Okay, well, it's still a game about energy and resources until 3i Atlas, you know, kind of, you know, pops down on the planet and changes the course of history with their energy innovations. And they're going to teach us how to, you know, use a zero-point gravity to power our tractors and farm the land. Until that happens, okay, it's still about energy and resources. 50% of the world's resources are in that hemisphere, and 50% of the world's resources are in this hemisphere. And we need to be looking at taking control of all of them. That's the adult conversation. That's the big boy conversation. We need to be looking at taking control of all of them. We already subsidize all of them. We are the security guarantee for the entire Western Hemisphere anyway. Your tax money goes to put on a puppet theater about international sovereignty anyway. The entire United Nations is one big political theater disguised to lie about the status of nations' sovereignty. as legitimate nations. There are no legitimate nations, really. In this regard, in this consideration, your nation is only as legitimate as you can fight off your enemies. We saw that in Iraq. We saw that in Afghanistan. We saw that in Libya. We're seeing that right now between Russia and Ukraine. We fear that in China and Taiwan. The United Nations is a fugazi, which is why we should pull out of it, because it's just a one big global propaganda machine. The only nations are nations who have the have and the have-nots. They're very Darwinian in that sense. Hemispheric defense. We are the predominant power in the Western Hemisphere, and we need to start to act like it. We need to start to prepare to make that shift away from Asia, away from the Middle East, away from Europe. Look, Europe, you got to fend for yourselves. Sorry, we're not sorry. You got to fend for yourselves. And we bid you farewell. I mean, we hope you're victorious. It would be great if the Westphalian civilization could prevail and the continent of Europe could maintain their predominance in the Eastern Hemisphere. That would be an ideal situation for us. But if you can't, we're not going down with you, because we didn't come to the party with you. Sorry. These Atlanticists can talk about the Commonwealth all they want to. We fought a war to separate from the British Empire, and we're going to be separating. You want to give your country to Muhammad? You want to give your continent to Muhammad? You go ahead, okay? Here in the United States of America, we will be challenging the takeover of the Mohammeds. But we will also be challenging the takeover of the Shapiros. Line them all up. We're ready for the fight. We're ready for the challenge. Last but not least, I just want to talk about IQ. IQ is not a Christian idea, okay? I got to get Alex to set up a conversation between me and Nick. I think it'd be legendary. IQ is not a Christian idea. The spirit and the intellect are inextricably linked. The Hebrew Bible, the Bible, shows us from great Catholic theologians like St. Thomas Aquinas, how does man have peace? Man can have peace when he submits his reason, his passion to his reason, and his reason to God. He can have peace within himself, then he can have peace with others. The intellect can be developed. It's not static. Are there baselines? Yes. But part of our evangelical mission is to introduce people to Scripture because it helps develop the intellect. And through the development of the intellect, they can also develop the spirit. I've had a great time this evening. I hope you enjoyed the show. It's an honor to host. Alex Jones is an American hero. They may say I'm unelectable because I believe that, and that's just fine. But we're going to save this country. Vox Populi, Vox Dei. God bless you. God bless America. Godspeed. We'll see you next time. From the belly of the beast, Minneapolis, Minnesota. Have a good night.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. It was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue. Yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Well, barring a miracle, InfoWars, the website, the studio, will be shut down somewhere in or around January 1st, 2026. But regardless, the InfoWar lives on. But InfoWarsStore.com, the legendary site that literally funded the InfoWar because of your great support with so many great products, has gotten two final shipments in of Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil. Both are the highest quality, the best out there. They're fan favorites. And right now, they're 40% off until they sell out. So this is probably, I said about 98% chance, your last chance to get Body's Ultimate Turmeric Formula and Ultimate Fish Oil at InfoWarsStore.com. But don't worry, the InfoWar will continue with the Alex Jones Network. It will continue with all the other work we're doing. But right now, if you want to get these legendary products, the last time you can, get them exclusively at InfoWarsStore.com. Again, they're both 40% off for a limited time, so take action now, InfoWarsStore.com.